So I just want to connect that in with this question around, you know, what is it that stands between? What is the between thing that joins the rational and the natural? You know, this thing we call Benjamin, the spiritual celestial man. You know, these are difficult terms to define. And earlier it was mentioned, just coming up with the question, what is good and what is truth? Now, these are big questions, and they're difficult to get hold of because there's so much a part of our language within the new church. So, you know, we speak the words thinking, well, if you can speak the words, we must have it, right? So, but we know that's not true. You need to actually practice to come to see what things are, because then you gain illustration that's grounded in the natural. The natural serves as a midwife. There are two elements to that midwifery, if you like, or that I can see. One is that in the natural, you enter into a struggle, the struggle of birthing and everything, or bringing those principles that we are seeking to live from into life. That's what birthing is about. It's about bringing what is spiritual into being at a level where it has a direct impact on the quality of life. And of course, what happens is that there's a whole lot of stuff at that level that resists it. And the resistance is necessary for the birth to take place. So this is the preparation of the natural, if you like. So the clearing out, the identification of heredity, the identification of those things that we have made a part of our life that can't serve the Lord, they need to be seen and cleared out, if you like. And that's how the natural, through offering resistance, serves as a midwife, a support for the process, if you like, because that's what a midwife does. The other aspect, of course, is that the letter of the word itself is the natural. It is the Lord's natural. And it is only through the letter of the word that what is spiritual can be birthed. You don't have one without the other. They're both absolutely essential to the process. So what this birthing process, so what it involves is this need for Benjamin to be born. Now, Benjamin is the affectional tie between the rational and the natural. So putting it in story terms, Benjamin is the full brother of Joseph. So there's the affection. And he is the son of Jacob and Rachel, right? So he's very close to Jacob's heart. In the story, as it progresses further on, Benjamin becomes the means by which Joseph and Jacob are brought together. Joseph hangs on to Benjamin, you know, I won't preempt the story, but he manipulates the situation so that Benjamin remains with him and the brothers are sent back to Jacob. So the means by which pulling those two things together is set up, and it's affection. It's love that actually begins to pull them. It's Jacob's love for Benjamin and Joseph's love for, you know, his family, that these two things start to be brought together. All right, so leaving that aside a bit, we have these principles. Principles are truths. They're the truths that are extracted from the text. That's what a principle is. So we talk about principles, but really what we're talking about are truths. So often we might talk about first principles. First principles is the idea that there is a God, that God is love. You know, they're the big sort of anchors that you need to have there. And then there are all these other principles that come forth from that. The principle of, you know, unless you apply truths to life, then they're not going to help you. Right. So, you know, there's a principle. And in the text, we have a lot of principles that are outlined by means of the stories and the commentary there. So we have these ideas, which can be quite abstract, you know, and they're quite abstract until they're actually practiced. So we have the text and we read the text and we have these doctrinal ideas, and somehow those two things have to come together. How do they come together? You know, how does abstract sort of doctrine become something actually lived? Well, you have to practice it in order to be able to see it illustrated in your life. And as you see truths begin to be illustrated, your understanding of truths begins to shift. So you might have, so the truths from good that sit within the context of your historical faith are very different in quality to the truths of good that sit within the faith of your practice. What you've actually lived from. Those two things are very different. So it's as we take those things that we've been given at the level of the memory that sits in our historical faith, and we begin to apply them, which is what logopraxis seeks to encourage people to do. What starts to happen there is that you actually begin to see how those things that are of a higher quality are connected to what is lower. And that's the formation of what is in between. That's the formation of Benjamin. That is truth from good, the good of practice, as opposed to the good of a more exterior kind of good or a natural kind of good, which you find in your historical faith. So this is what logopraxis provides. It provides a structure within which these things can be tested in our life, and we can come into seeing how something is true, not just an acceptance of something being true because we've been told, yes, everything in the word is true. That's a given. In fact, in logopraxis, it's the affirmative principle. We come to the text knowing that it is true, right down to the very letter. How it is true is what we are discovering through this process. And when you know how something is true, it can never be taken from you because it's integrated into your being, right? If it's just memory knowledge, then the next person that comes along with a more powerful argument as to what it means will be the one you're swayed by, you know, like it's that kind of idea there. But for truths that are worked into the life, nothing can stand against them, because it is the Lord that is established as the fabric of our life. So there's a statement in Divine Providence number 293 that says this, that to think and will from self is the essential divine principle, while to think and will from God is the essential human principle. And what is essentially divine cannot be appropriated to any man, for in that case, man would be God. When you think about that, it's quite interesting, you know, this work is taking us from a state of living from ourself to living from the word, to live from another, so that we can become truly human in that sense, or a true expression of the Lord's own humanity as we enter into life.